fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And so again, today we're going to look at a scene from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. If you've been able to follow the program over the last few days, it's the story of Peter and John and some of the apostles who were arrested and brought before the religious leaders of the time of the people of Israel. And there's a great resistance and hostility. Ended yesterday's program with a quote from this section in the Acts of the Apostles, that after the chief priest, the leader of the religious rulers, speaking to Peter and John and the apostles, said, "Look, we told you to stop talking about the name of Jesus Christ, and you've disobeyed us. And essentially, you're going to pay a price." And Peter said, in a beautiful little section from Acts, if you weren't able to listen to yesterday's program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod, listen to them when it's convenient for you. There's so much drama, and we see the unfolding of the history of the early church. That's our history. Those of you who are listening, who are believers, followers of Jesus, Catholics, if you see how the apostles upon which the church was built, you see how the Holy Spirit's leading them, and what was at the center of their life was the worship of God, was the proclamation and mission that Jesus had called them to. And what we see in that reading yesterday is Peter's beautiful summary of what's called the kerygma. That's the core message of the preaching of the church, what the church is built on. What is the truth that the church wants the whole world to know? And what is it the Holy Spirit wants to anoint and wants to give us the power to proclaim? I think too often what the church is like today and what the message is that the church is speaking too often is just a moral message, that somehow the church is a kind of morality cop, that what the church is doing is throughout the world is just telling people that they need to live a good moral life, that they need to avoid this and to do that. And now morality and God's commandments are an important part of the life, but the center, the starting point, is not the commandments. The center and starting point is the proclamation of who Christ is and what he's done on the cross, and that God the Father has raised him from the dead, and now he is Lord in Christ, and he's offering for salvation the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what the church wants to tell the world. Come out of your resistance to God. Come out of sin. Come and enter into the new life that's in Jesus Christ. And it's in that life, in the Holy Spirit, who is the law, who is the new morality, you might say, given to us in our hearts to learn to love what God loves and to live the life of God from the core rather than from the external law that's in being, quote-unquote, imposed on us, which is a lot of people think the church wants to do, is just run around and impose the law on people. No. The church wants you to come to know Jesus Christ, who's Lord and Savior, to come to have your sins forgiven and to enter the church through baptism and to become a son or daughter of God, animated now by the Holy Spirit, who will give you a love for the law and the commandments of God, because you won't see them as an external imposition. You'll understand that it's God's goodness given to you, showing you the path for your happiness. And he gives you in the Holy Spirit the new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. Today's reading from Acts chapter 5, we're back in that moment of drama. The high priest yesterday concluded with the high priest and the religious leaders were angry. They really wanted to put the apostles to death. And a kind of wise voice stood up among the Sanhedrin and said, "Hey, let's remove these guys for a moment and talk among ourselves." And here the situation is. They're intense, they're being threatened, they're fearful of losing their control and their power, and this is what they're saying. A Pharisee in the Sanhedrin named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up, ordered the apostles to be put outside for a short time, and said to the Sanhedrin, "Fellow children of Israel, be careful what you're about to do to these men," because the heat was growing up in the room, and some of them wanted to kill the apostles, to just deal with the problem that way. Let's snuff them out. "Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be someone important, and about 400 men joined him, but he was killed, and all those who were loyal to him were disbanded and came to nothing. After him came Judas, the Galilean. At the time of the census, He also drew people after him, but he too perished, and all who were loyal to him were scattered. So now I tell you, have nothing to do with these men, and let them go. For if this endeavor or this activity is of human origin, it will destroy itself. But if it comes from God, you will not be able to destroy them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. They were persuaded by him. After recalling the apostles, they had them flogged, ordered them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and they dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, that's the apostles, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And all day long, both at the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Christ Jesus. Amazing story. The wise man Gamaliel stands up, and what he said was wise. If this is God, you're not going to be able to resist him. If this is God, it doesn't matter if you put some to death, because others are going to rise up and it's going to keep going. If it's not of God, it's just going to disappear eventually. I love the response of the apostles. They're brought back in, and again, what they want to do is they want to intimidate the apostles, and they want to silence the apostles. But at this point, they don't want to do anything stupid, but they want to get their message across, so what do? They flog them. They whip them. Not a pretty sight. Not a positive experience. They knew what was coming. They saw Jesus flogged, 40 lashes less one. St. Paul would experience it as well. 39 times they probably were whipped there. Wounded, welts on their back, bleeding, I'm sure. That's what they experienced. Because the leaders wanted to say, look, you're going to walk away with this. You're going to remember who's in charge. And you're going to do what we tell you to do. Or we're going to put the hurt on you. They wanted to intimidate them, to silence them. But what's their response? So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing. They didn't whine. They didn't cry. They didn't get angry at God because bad things were happening to them. They didn't run and hide. What did they do? They rejoiced. Why? Because they had been found worthy to suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus, to suffer dishonor. This is such an important meditation for us, friends, who call ourselves Christian, who have been baptized, and somehow, in some way, we believe ourselves to be Christian. Is this what we're like? Would we be willing to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus Christ? You know, the name of Jesus is now coming into dishonor in our time. Now, some ways the church has brought dishonor. We've disfigured the image of Christ because of our sin. And for that, we need to repent, and we need to repent publicly. I really think that the leaders of the church, the bishops in the country, I think what we ought to do, and they ought to do, is lead us in a national day or days of repentance because of the sins that have been committed within the church that have so marred the face of Jesus. But that's not all that needs to be done. We need to proclaim the gospel the way the apostles proclaimed the gospel. To tell the whole world about Jesus Christ, that he's risen from the dead, that God the Father has exalted him in his right hand and made him Lord and Savior, as leader and Savior, Lord and Messiah. And if we do that in this day and age, as the world's becoming more and more secular, we're going to experience dishonor. We're going to experience suffering for the name of Jesus. But a true apostle rejoices in that moment. Jesus said, the world's going to hate you. It's going to resist you. But understand what's happening. The world's going to hate you because it hated me first. It hates the truth that I'm the Lord, that every man and woman is called to serve me, to follow me, to obey me in order to be saved. The reading goes on, and all day long, both at the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Christ, Jesus. How did the early church live? What animated their lives? What was their passion? What was their life mission? All day long, both in the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Christ, that is Jesus. This is the heart of an apostle. This is the heart of a Christian. I want to tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the Lord in my own home. I want to proclaim the gospel to my children. I want to gather people around the person of Jesus Christ. Here's Pope Francis from his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. He says, the church which goes forth, and he said that he's calling the whole church today to a new going forth into the mission of the proclaiming of the gospel. He said, the church which goes forth is a community of missionary disciples. That's what we're seeing here in the Acts. That's who these brothers and sisters are. They are a community. They're a new family. And they're missionary at the core of their being. And they're following the person of Jesus Christ. And they're being faithful to him. And they're proclaiming the message that he's commissioned them to proclaim. He said, the church which goes forth is a community of missionary disciples who take the first step, who are involved and supportive, who bear fruit and they rejoice. The disciple is ready to put his or her whole life on the line, even to accepting martyrdom and bearing witness to Jesus Christ. Yet the goal is not to make enemies, but to see God's word accepted and its capacity for liberation and renewal to be revealed. Isn't that wonderful? And he says every parish is a center of this kind of missionary activity. In all its activities, he said, the parish encourages and trains its members to be evangelizers, to be missionary. That's why he'll say later in his apostolic letter, he said, look, I am a mission. I was born for this reason. I was born into mission. This is the reason why I'm here in the world, he said, is to follow in the footsteps of the apostles. Isn't that beautiful, friends? And Jesus led the way. The apostles are following in the footsteps of Christ. I want to end with the gospel reading from yesterday. I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I'm just going to read it to you and leave it with you. John 3, verse 31 through 36. The one who comes from above is above all. Jesus is talking about himself. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and what he has heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Here's what the apostles went to proclaim: the gift of eternal life. As the angel who led them out of prison said, tell them about this new life. Tell everyone about this life. That's what ought to be in the heart of every Christian. That's what a healthy Christian heart looks like. It's filled with the joy and the knowledge of the gift and the desire to proclaim it. May that be you and me, brothers and sisters, until the Lord calls us home. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.